John chapter 14, verse 1 tonight, and I'm going to be going there, then I believe I'm going to the book of Ephesians and then possibly the book of Hebrews tonight. Probably the ninth chapter of the book of Hebrews, Ephesians chapter 1 tonight. Tonight I want to minister on the revelation of Jesus Christ, and I doubt there's no way I'm going to be able to cover it because it's too vast to be able to cover it in one session. But in John chapter 14, the Lord really has, which goes along with what we have been teaching on the series of justification that we have extended ourselves out, and I think we've pretty much have, I mean, if by now you don't know why you're justified, then you got bigger problems than than I can take care of. Amen. So that's a complete law mentality of somehow that you are constantly working to find peace and to find justification. In Hebrews, and that's what Hebrews is all about. It's the better covenant, the better priesthood, the better promise that God has given unto us. And so much, especially in the body of Christ, what why I want to minister on this tonight is how that everything is predicated on the revelation of Christ. And tonight we sang so much about Jesus and the name of Jesus. But it's not just the fact that I say the name Jesus. It is the revelation of the name. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ Himself. The name alone, somebody can be called Jesus, somebody can be called Jesus. And, you know, every time that, you know, you would be called, if you were named Jesus and somebody called your name out, you know, doesn't mean that, you know, the waters part and, you know, people began to get healed. The reason why is because it is not the name, it is the revelation of who the name is. And the revelation of Jesus Christ is where that we have to live. Really, a lot of things that we stumble over and a lot of things that we struggle with in our life is the result because we don't really have a revelation of Jesus Christ. What we have is that we are still stuck between the two areas of law and grace. And Paul speaks about that to us and tells us, in the book of John chapter 1, he tells us that the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And so, and the reason that John was talking about that is because is that there was a transition that was happening. And that is that what we're going to read here is a tremendous struggle. And Jesus here in John chapter 14 has given us an unveiling, seeding the revelation of himself to his disciples. The reason being is because he's talking about his death here. And so, I mean, I can only imagine. I mean, it's mass confusion with the disciples here. It's like us. Without a revelation of what Jesus is talking about, you know, we're trying to pull out our map. We're asking for a physical direction. You know, we're asking for latitude and longitude. And Jesus says, you guys are not getting it. You've been with me for 3 years. And you still yet don't understand what I'm talking about here. And so it wasn't that he was frustrated because he knew that the revelation of who he was could not come and be complete until the Holy Spirit was sent. Until they had the fullness of the Holy Spirit on the inside of them, they couldn't have a revelation of Christ. They could only understand, you know, what they understood. As long as they were Jesus, watching him, doing what he was doing, everything was cool. Everything was copacetic. The problem was is that the moment the whole organization began to crash and burn, you know, and the church looked like it was about ready to end, and Jesus Christ, man, was crucified, he was being put on trial, all their existing fears came to the surface. And so when those fears came to the surface, man, they were like, whew, what's going on here? You know, Jesus prophesies to Peter, tells Peter that he is going to deny him. You know, Peter says, there's no way I'm going to deny you. You know, I'll die for you. He said, it's not the problem about dying. The problem is I want you to proclaim and be what you've watched me do for 3 years here. And he does the very opposite. In crisis, in pressure, he does the very opposite, because pressure without revelation of Christ really reveals who we are in Christ. That's why that justification, that's why that righteousness, why we go through what we go through, is so that righteousness can be revealed in us. And that's the whole point. The point is not so that, you know, we can write a book. There's been 66 of them written. I don't know how you're going to expand on it. It's cool. I mean, all the books that you guys read and all the books that are written, I'm cool with that. I'm not anti books. But who's going to have a greater revelation, you know, than what you have here in these 66 books? If you can't grasp this, the problem is not the reading of the book. The problem is who is helping you to interpret the book. That's why that he said to him, you really have no need of a teacher. And the reason why he was saying it was not like, you know, you're unteachable, or that nobody ever has to teach you because you're the man. That's not what he's saying here. He was saying you've got the Holy Spirit within you, and you need to learn how to utilize that. That's what he was saying here. The introduction comes here in chapter 14 of the book of John. And he says to him, because he's revealing to them here, he's revealing to him, revealing to his disciples about his death. And this is like the third time that he is trying to reveal to them, look, I'm not staying. Things are going to change. There's coming a shift. Things are dramatically going to change. And what some think, that I was going to set up an earthly kingdom here, you know, because when he came into Jerusalem, man, it had all the appearance of, whoa, things are going to change. Because, man, people were throwing their coats down. They were throwing palm leaves down. You know, Hosanna in the highest. Wow, he's coming into Jerusalem. He's going to make his triumphal entry. He walks to the temple, goes to the temple immediately, looks around, you know, and it looks like, whoa, it's finally going to happen. He's going to take control of the earth. And the thing he tells them, you know, is the next thing. It's the Passover. And they go to the Passover and they eat, and he's not talking about, you know, setting up an earthly kingdom. He's saying, hey, one of you are going to betray me. What? He said, they're going to come and get me. I'm going to suffer great pain here, and I'm going to die. You know, from this picture, from the Last Supper, he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, asking his disciples, wait here with me for an hour and pray while I go pray. Just wait with me. Stand guard. Stand in this place. Pray with me for 1 hour. That's all I'm asking to do. They couldn't do it. They fell asleep. From that point, the guards come. The Sanhedrin court guards came. They take Jesus away. And they hold trial. His disciples, they watch this whole thing unfold. You know, look, nobody was quoting scriptures. I can tell you that right now. Okay? I don't remember. Remember the word that Jesus said? No, man, the rats were jumping ship. I mean, they couldn't get out fast enough. Come on, you can put this all in a holy context that you want. But man, this is standard operating procedure for when churches go through crisis. Nobody's quoting scripture. People are like, hey, I'm out of here, man. Okay, this is not what I signed up for. If it can't be glorious and if it can't be wonderful, I don't want any part of this. If I can't be a part of the parade, and I can't be, you know, top dog, if I can't be that, then, you know, look, this is not what I said. I didn't sign up for no suffering and affliction stuff. No. No, man, I signed up to be a Jesus witness, and I want everything to be hot and heavy, and I want it all to be glorious. You know, and when things turn, and things turned really quickly here, you know, they got shook up. That's why people are shook up at death. It's why, and it was too bad, because the preacher today at Michael's, I mean, Pastor Speaks. Thanks, baby. Pastor Speaks, man, was on the right track. But he didn't feel good. But man, he had the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord is that, man, death makes people feel uncomfortable. People don't know what to say. They don't know what to do. And people don't know how to handle death. This is why. This is Jesus was having a pre-funeral counseling session with his disciples. And they're like, we don't want to talk about this. Even some just gathered around him at one time and said, hey, you know, I think you need some help. Peter was like, hey, stop, Jesus, talking about this. And Jesus looked at him and said, hey, Satan, get behind me. You have, you know, one moment you're saying I'm the Christ, the Son of the living God, and the next moment you think I need, you know, some therapy. You understand? See, this is the problem in the body of Christ. The reason why is because they could never have a revelation of Jesus Christ. They didn't know who he really was. They knew who he was, but they didn't know who he was. See, they knew who he was in one light, but see, the reason why is because they didn't have the capacity to see him. See, they accepted him as the Messiah. They accepted him as the Messiah, but they didn't know him yet as Savior. They didn't know him as Lord. So they saw him in a limited context. Why? Well, because they were human beings. And the only power they had was the power that he would delegate to them. And then when he said, go do miracles, they could do it because he gave them the authority to do so. But if Jesus didn't give them the authority, they were totally lost. They'd go out, they'd do the gig, you know, have the revival services. Everything was great. Miracles would happen. But it was simply because of that. But once that was over with, that was it. See, the miracles, miracles didn't keep them in revival. See, miracles didn't keep them in revival. Jesus knew that. What it was going to take, it was going to take a revelation of Christ. It's going to take a revelation. That's why he's telling them, he said, look, if I don't leave, you're not going to understand this. You're not going to be able to live. You're not going to be able to function correctly. You're not going to be able to go and change the world by who you are now. You're just a bunch of babbling idiots right now. You don't have a clue what's going on. Amen? And see, our carnal flesh, man, looks really dumb compared to the power of God. When you start trying to reason out the supernatural by your mind, when you start figuring out, and people are like, well, you know, hey, I just don't think those things exist, brother. Excuse me. You know, but I think those things have passed. I don't think there's no such thing as miracles. And, you know, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I don't think tongues, that stuff don't exist. Well, they don't for you. They don't for you. Because this is not something you have to. This is a privilege and a gift that God's trying to give to you. You know, but you got, you're no different. It is saved without the Holy Ghost, the fullness of the Holy Ghost, you know, trying to go to a gunfight with a switchblade. I mean, you're just totally unprepared. Totally. We're totally unequipped without the fullness of the Holy Ghost. And this is what Jesus is trying to unveil to them. Because, see, you can never really see Jesus for who he really is. You can't really understand him. He doesn't unveil himself in that context. It takes the Holy Spirit and the fullness of the Spirit to be able to do that. That's why a lot of people get confused about the scripture that Jesus said, greater works shall you do because I go into the Father. It's not because, like, you're going to be like a greater Jesus than the Jesus that was here. Seriously? Really? You're going to be a greater Jesus? You can't. He's not talking about a greater Jesus in you that you're going to be alone that. See, the problem is that's what we have sold in the body of Christ. We have sold individualism instead of the corporate body of Christ. The reason why we become greater and do greater works is when we move as the corporate body. Not because you become another Benny Hinn. That's not the point of the body of Christ. The point of the body of Christ is not so there'd be another, you know, a great miracle worker. God's not looking for individualism. God's looking for the corporate body of Christ to function. And how we function is through the Holy Spirit. Amen? Because the truth of it is that's why you don't see it manifested just through one person. The reason why we don't see more healings and miracles is because it's not for one person. It's for the body of Christ. That's because those gifts are lying in you and we're not exercising them. See? Because it may be that week that God wants to use Tanya for healing or a miracle or a creative miracle, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, she gets in it and then people are like, gosh, she's got the gift, man. Go to Tanya's house. All of a sudden, Tanya started a Bible study. It's a healing. She's teaching now. She's written three books on healing, and she's got her whole thing over there in a Bible study. Uh-oh. It's not the corporate body of Christ. See, that's not the corporate body of Christ. See, that's the whole problem. People begin to move, then they start getting credit, and then they start getting the glory, and it's like, I've got it. I've got it, man. And then people start going, well, if that is the case, then why isn't everybody being healed through them? Well, that's because that person don't have faith, brother. If they had faith, they'd be healed. Wow, talking about dumping the whole load of the world on somebody's shoulder. Well, that's why they're not getting healed. Well, yeah, I understand that by faith we receive, but I am telling you that it doesn't always, because once it moves just in one person, just because it moves in one person doesn't mean that person has the sole gift. God wants to use the corporate body. Here is the lack of understanding of the revelation of the body of Christ and how God wants the body to move corporately instead of individually. And when one person becomes the center point, whether it's the pastor or an associate or a worship leader, one of the worst things in the body of Christ that we're seeing is idol worship, man, in worship music today. It's becoming an abomination. And it's all being revealed. These guys, man, who people thought they were like the bomb diggity, half these guys don't even have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you why. Because we're not moving within the corporate body of Christ. We glorify people and we lift them up. And we want our stars and we want our groupies. And we want to be able to adore somebody. It's no different than you taking a piece of wood and putting a face on it and putting it up in your house and start worshiping that silly piece of wood. Because that is the nature of man. The nature of man is to do that. It is to move in self. But when we move as the corporate body of Christ, yeah, God will use everybody. But look, how about we let the Holy Spirit be the administrator and we be the instrument that He uses? See? See, He chooses, He wills. Okay, what are we going to do? Anthony, I need you to be obedient tonight. I want you to lay hands on some people. You, Rick, I have a word of knowledge for you, for somebody over here. Rachel, I have some healing that I need you to do tonight. Oh, no, I need you to give a song out of your heart. Here, I've given you a word of poetry. I've given something to you. So the body comes together and they act corporately. But see, that's not what we're doing. What we're doing is that we've created a system to where that it's about one person and us sitting in a classroom listening to somebody's monologue every week. So we don't become doers of the word. We just become hearers of the word. But it's no good unless we act and activate it. See, it's like salvation. Let me explain something to you. Jesus Christ, when He came and He died on the cross, who did He die for? To those who said yes? He died for the world, right? For God so loved the world that He gave His... When Jesus died and He died on the cross of Calvary, there was nobody, you know, except for His mother and John and Mary, Magdalene, more than likely... And here you have the three. That's it. Okay? The thousands that He administered to. So there wasn't people. You know they didn't have the revelation. Why? Because if that was the case at that point in time, and the Holy Spirit would have come, and they would have been endued with power, they would have seen what was going on. Because we see the contrast between Him dying at the cross and everybody going, poof. Amen? And it wasn't until after His resurrection that people said, whoa, hey, He said that's what's going to happen. What did He say next to do? Oh, go to Jerusalem and wait there till you be endued with power. So 120 made the trek to Jerusalem, and for 10 days they stayed in an upper room in a prayer meeting and a worship service, did a couple of silly things like electing somebody to be the 12th apostle. We never heard of that guy ever again. Okay? See, they hadn't received the baptism. They hadn't walked in the fullness. Silly as they were, they didn't realize the 12th man was already picked. His name was Paul. And he wrote 3/4 of the New Testament. The guy, whoever they picked, I don't know what he was doing. Amen? Probably went to work for Lowe's, you know, in their call center someplace probably. See, man, flesh gets really silly, man. Flesh really thinks that we're going to make it, but it's not about individuals. And we get into problems because we think that we're going to solve it by reason. That's why that we make financial decisions and do things and make decisions and say it. Because look, just like I told Matt the other day, I said, and again, you've heard me say this, what is the hardest thing to argue against? When somebody says to you, God told me. Okay, conversation's over with. What am I going to say? No, he did not. Okay, we got to fight. Well, Pastor, don't you think God's? Well, sure I do. But God doesn't just speak. God confirms his word by the mouth of two or more witnesses. God knows your flesh, and he knows you need confirmation because he knows we're fickle. Oh, hush. You know it's true. We people are fickle, and especially church people. We are fickle people. I need one moment. Oh, I love you. And the next minute, we're like, right? Why? Because our nature is fickle without the Holy Ghost. The difference maker is the Holy Spirit. And Jesus knew it, man. Peter, his biggest advocate. The man who was always there, he was one of the three. He was there at the transfiguration with John. Seriously, dude, he saw it all. And a little girl put the nudge on him. And he couldn't even stand up against that little teen girl. Hey, you're one of them. Shut up, blank, shit, blank, blank. Right? Is that the truth? He had to prove to her, I ain't one of them. It literally came to pass. And the Bible says Peter ran out into the woods weeping bitterly because he knew what he had done. The good part of that story is Peter's the first one that Jesus ministered and said, hey, tell Peter. Amen? Then he remembers the words Jesus said to him. It's okay, Peter, you're going to deny me, but I prayed for you. That your faith fail you not. Wow, come on. You see, this is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about moving from that realm of the natural and moving to the realm of the supernatural and the revelation of Jesus Christ. The reason why we struggle with healing, the reason why we struggle with faith, the reason why we struggle with the things of God is because we don't have a revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen? So here in, have you read my scripture yet? Oh, Lord, I'm halfway here. In verse 14, he said, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. I love that scripture. That scripture really popped out to me. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. See, it was tough. See, it's tough. It was tough to believe in God without Jesus. See, Jesus made God personal. See, that's why Jesus had to come. Jesus had to come because he needed to make God soft. See? Because before he was like, I will show my wrath. Lightnings, thunders. Plagues, lightning bolts, destroying cities. Yeah. I mean, talking about a movie that, well, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street had nothing to do with people's nightmares after God, you know, was tripping. And I was like, no, man. God got some anger issues. No, he has some sin issues. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? So people's mindset, their view of God was that it took Jesus to come. How? A baby in a manger. Do you hear me? Emmanuel. It took him to come so that he could present the Father to them. That's why that he stands as an advocate between you and God. Amen? So God can't see past him. Because if you remove Jesus, it's lightning bolts, Sodom and Gomorrah, wrath of God. Because he's a holy God. And so it took Jesus and his blood to be shed for God to be able to deal with us. Well, say, Pastor, I don't understand that. I'm quite easy to deal with. Right. Amen? Think about, take Jesus out of the picture. What do you have? You take Jesus out as the mediator and the advocate for us. Man, you don't want to be in that place. You got to go back to Old Testament. Look, in your Bible reading between Genesis and Isaiah, if Isaiah doesn't do anything, it's like, whew, glad I don't live back there. Amen? It's like, I'm glad I'm not a Jew. Man, those people were, whew. And the problem was is that you got judged by everybody. Amen? Man, just think about it. Rick sins, you all get punished. Huh? We don't live in that time no more. See? But because of a few in the Old Testament, if they sin and they would not listen, the leadership would not listen, then what would happen is this. The whole nation had to pay for it. Oh, not cool. But see, that's the whole difference. The difference between Jesus coming and giving his life for us and him not. So Jesus came and Jesus said, look, believe in God. You believed in me. Amen? How many hears it? So here he goes on to say, in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And place can mean physically, but can also mean spiritual. It can almost mean not just a place physically as far as geographically, but it can mean spiritually too. And I don't think that we've got a full revelation because Jesus never, when he talked about heaven, he never gave details about it. I know what Revelation says, and it talks about the heavenly city. But at the other end of it too, a lot of those things can mean. And the Bible doesn't say streets of gold. You're not going to find it in the Bible. The Bible doesn't say plural streets. It's a street of gold. So a lot of the things that you see are types in Revelation. And it is a revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not to say, I'm not trying to take away your dream and your vision about the heavenly city or about the New Jerusalem. I believe that it's a literal place. I believe that it's a physical place. But I also believe that the revelation is found in Jesus Christ. If you don't have a revelation of Jesus and you don't see Jesus intertwined and the thread tying you together in the New Testament, then what happens? You bring it down to a carnal understanding and then all of a sudden it's the new sandals called the heavenly sandals now. It's a spa, the heavenly spa. You know? Got this mansion. People give me massage and pedicures and, you know, and whatever else you get. You know, massages every day by heavenly angels, giving you that heavenly massage every day, sitting around watching your big 80-inch television, you know, sitting at the pool, you know, drinking your heavenly drinks, whatever they are, non-alcoholic, of course, because you can't have no Pentecostals there in alcohol. That wouldn't work. I mean, man, you can go crazy on this stuff. And you can get lost on all of it and get your mind going in the wrong direction. But what we need is a revelation of Jesus Christ. Because, man, none of it's good, none of it's any good without Jesus being the light of that city. And if you lose that, whatever it is that God has an intent. Look, the intent of heaven is a purpose. Literally, you think that God has called us for a permanent, eternal vacation? Seriously? I mean, really, stop and think about that. Well, Pastor, I've worked for 70 years. I'm going to retire in heaven. Heaven is my retirement home. Really? After putting up with all the mess we have here, the limitations that's going to be taken off of us, There's no limitations on our flesh, in our mind, in our thinking. We have the ability to move with freedom. There is no sickness. There's no death. And God's calling us to a vacation. Amen? Free harp lessons every Tuesday and Thursday? Really? No, I just saw a picture of some of you playing the harp. So. Peter giving fishing lessons. Sandy beaches. Really? We have dumbed this down to a place to where it's there instead of that God has a divine purpose. That God has a destiny that He wants to fulfill in you. Man, I'm telling you what I'm hoping the life to come is. I'm hoping that when we get there, what I believe it is that God, all the limits are taken off of us. And now we really have the power to create. Because the devil and his angels are forever locked away in the eternal pit. And now there is no encumbrance on me. There is no encumbrance on you. Now we really have the ability to change our world and make it like God always intended it to be. And it's going to be a place, not of vacation, but it's going to be a place of worship. And it's going to be a place of continual presence of God around the throne. Why would I want to be anyplace else when I get there except around the throne of God? There is where I want to be, in His presence, continually. Why? Because I'm thought so much about being in His presence. But once the limits have been taken off, my God, what will God do when we have the full revelation of who God is and who Jesus is? And if I go, I prepare a place for you. And I will come again and receive you unto myself. The second coming, Christ is coming. And I thank God He is. But He's not coming as a thief, guys. He's coming triumphantly. God's not coming through the back door. He's coming on a white horse. And He's coming as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. He's coming as the triumphant Jesus Christ. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Amen. We don't need the devil to fulfill. Look, God used Babylon in the Old Testament because that's what He had to. We're not going to lead people. It is a direct opposite that men are not called to repentance through terror and fear. They're called to repentance by the goodness of God. In this great awakening that God will do in this age now, in this closing age of the church and of mankind, God will reach out in a mighty, massive move of the Holy Spirit, the agent by which that He chose to be that agent of conviction and change and reproof in the earth. He doesn't need the devil to do His work. He's got the greatest instrument in the world. That is the Holy Ghost, to be able to do in you what you cannot do without Him. Amen? He's got you. And that's why He wants to fill you with Him. Amen? Look, you get filled with the Holy Ghost, it'll stop those silly attitudes you have. Amen? Look at him, and I'm going to tell you something. You can be a babe in Christ, or you can be a preacher. Preachers are some of the dumbest creatures. They think that, well, I've studied the Bible for 40 years. I should be pretty smart by now. No, knowledge. It's not going to make you smarter. You just get a lot of knowledge now. And you're more dangerous. Because if you've not equaled yourself with allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to your life, now you're really dangerous. Before, you just had a little derringer. Twing, twing. Now you got a bazooka walking around, man. Blowing Christians and people and the world and all the people that don't agree with you. Blowing them out of the water because they doctrinally don't agree with you now. Where did that become the work of Christ? Where did that become the work of Jesus in the earth?
The Bible never called us to a work of condemnation. He called us to the work to be a witness of Jesus Christ in the earth. Let those who are in sin be dealt with by the Holy Spirit, not with me. I will preach the power and the goodness and the mercy of Jesus Christ. And let it be that which brings men to repentance and to their knees because of that. Let them know the true Christ. Not the God of wrath, man. Amen? Amen? Where am I? Lord, I haven't even got to the good stuff yet. Anyways, let me tell you the story here. Thomas is the first one that pops up. Thomas says to him, Lord, because Jesus said, I'm going away to prepare a place. Listen to Thomas's response here. Look at this. In verse 5, Thomas says unto him, Lord, we don't even know where we're supposed to go and how we know how to get there. He said, what Thomas was saying here in 26, he said, is there a GPS to this? Do you have a roadmap that you printed out? You know, like trying to get to Linda's house. How many's ever been to Linda's house? You got to have a map and two mules to get back where she lives. And if the creek's not flooded, you have to have a boat to get across to the other side. Are you listening to me? That's what Thomas is asking. He said, you're going, but how are we going to get there? Really? Are you hearing me? These are people that's traveled with him for 3 years. Not been to church for 3 years. Been with the master 3 years. Slept with him, ate with him. Saw the whole nine yards, saw all the miracles, saw everything every day. Every day. Jesus didn't waste days. He didn't wake up on Mondays and said, this is my day off, no miracles. This is miracle-free day. Are you hearing me? Every day. It got so hot and heavy that sometimes he would go to people's houses or he'd try to get away and he'd say, don't tell nobody. I need some peace and quiet for a little bit. But nonetheless, man, they'd find him. They'd seek him out. They knew where he was all the time. Jesus said to him, I am the way. Thomas, I am the way. I'm the road, brother. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am your reality. I'm the way to this thing. That's what you're going to see, but you can't see now because you don't have a revelation of the great calling that's in your life. Amen? And you're going to be the worst, man, because you ain't going to believe until you see the scars. Amen? Okay. Hope I got 4 minutes. And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen? If you have known me, you should have known my Father also. Man, if you've seen me, you've seen my dad. I mean, it was mind-blowing. It is. I mean, without the Holy Ghost, man, it's there. But that's like people saying, well, if people will say to Steve, yeah, you're your dad's son, all right. And it's always a blast for us because especially people, and we don't tell a lot of people anymore that he's adopted, but people say, oh, yeah, you can tell you're your father's son. Well, if you've seen him, you've seen me. If you've seen Jennifer, you've seen me. Not just the good, but the bad. I didn't do it. The mother did it. Philip said, listen to what Philip says. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and this will satisfy us. And Jesus said, seriously? Seriously? You want me to show you the Father? Listen to what Jesus said. Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? All this time, man, you still don't even know who I am? That I am of the Father, that I am God with you, that I am Emmanuel? But see, they couldn't. Why? Because they didn't have it. That's why Jesus said, look, the Comforter's going to have to, I've got to go away. Because if I'm here, all I'm going to do is hinder your process and your growth. But when I go away, I'm sending the Comforter. I'm sending the Holy Ghost back to you. And when He comes, He's going to witness of me. And He's going to infill you. And He's going to take all this carnality. And it's going to be set aside. And I'm going to do it. And your eyes are going to be open. Man, turn with me real quick to Ephesians. You want me to go on just a little bit further? You want me to quit? Ephesians, look what he says. Because again, same thing. The Ephesians begin to slip in their walk with Christ. And listen to the prayer that Paul has over the church at Ephesus. He said that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. How? The eyes of your understanding. But he said the reason why you have this, he says it in verse 13, in whom ye also have trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in which also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So God gave you a deposit, amen, of your salvation, which is the Holy Spirit. But He gave you the Holy Spirit in His fullness so that your eyes could be open and you could have understanding of who He was and what your call is and what it is. We shouldn't be praying for things, man. We should be praying for spirit of wisdom and understanding and revelation of who Jesus Christ is. That's how we're going to be able to move along. You're not going to be able to move along in your faith as long as you keep praying. Give me that gift. Give me this. Give me that. No, man. God, open my eyes that I can see. The reason why we're stumbling in the dark, the reason why we're struggling, is because we have scales on our eyes. Religious scales. Scales of bias. Scales of prejudice. Scales of hate. Amen? Man, I mean, when I walked in there today, there was only two white people in that whole place. Me and a white girl that undoubtedly was married or the girlfriend of somebody else. And the only other white people was there was the funeral directors, which I don't like. But I was the only person there. When I walked in, look, there was many who looked at me and said, what in the world is he doing here? See, you want to know why that is? It's because there are scales upon our eyes. There are scales upon the eyes of the black folk in this community. There are scales upon the Hispanic community. And there is major scales upon the white community in this county and in this region. And I'm telling you right now, we're not going to resolve it. But see, when I got up there, it wasn't Mark Workman, white man, white preacher. When I got up there, it was, here I am, the Holy Spirit, filled individual. When I got up there, my prayer was not that they would see me as a white man, but they would see me as an instrument of love and filled with the Holy Ghost. I didn't have to preach. All I had to do was let the Holy Ghost come out of my mouth. Are you hearing me? I told Pastor Karen, if there was ever a time that I felt the anointing of God to preach in a place, it was that place. To reach out and to see the healing and the hurts and the wounds that was there in that one building, in that one location. And the hunger of those people reached out. I could feel it tangibly reaching out to me, crying for help and crying for healing, crying for reality. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? But until the scales are removed, until we have a revelation of Jesus Christ, we're still going to be just dumb, brute animals walking around trying to fulfill this thing, man. And we're still going to keep having church splits and difficulties and wounds. Jesus, we can't even get past the petty stuff we've been dealing with for years. Are you hearing me? And it's because we don't want to submit to the Holy Ghost. All we want to do is blame. Blame somebody. Blame somebody. Amen? That's the mantra here. Blame somebody. Because it ain't my fault. Ain't my fault. Amen? Ain't my fault. I got to come here. It ain't my fault. I could have looked at people and said, ain't my fault. Don't be blaming me. But you don't build nothing on another man's failure. That's not the foundation that we want here. We want a foundation of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Are you hearing me? Am I making any sense to you tonight? I'm closing. You've had enough. I can tell. Your eyes are bulging out. What is the exceeding greatness? That's what he wants to reveal to us. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe according to the workings of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over everything to the church. How? What does God want? He wants us to have our eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you may know. Our prayer should be, God, let me know. Let me have the revelation of Jesus Christ. If I have his revelation and I see him in his glory and his power, man, it changes everything. God, change us by your power. God, change us. Open our eyes. Take the scales off of our eyes, oh God. Take the scales off of our eyes. Take and remove the fleshly scales upon our eyes. Lord, let us begin to see, not individually, not it's all about me. It's all about my destiny, all about my purpose. I preach it. You know, you hear me say it. But we need now to begin to hear about the corporate Christ. Individually, we are nothing without each other. We are a member, many-membered body. And how can the hand say, I don't need any other part of the body? Amen? Oh, man, I'm done. I'm done. What you got, you got. Whatever you heard tonight, I believe right now in Jesus' name that those men who are hungry, those who are desperate, those who are crying out, those who are crying out for more, for the awakening that God is going to do in this city. Lord, don't pass me by. Don't let me stay blind. Don't let me stay in the dust of the earth as you're passing by. And I don't have the boldness or the courage to yell out and to scream out, oh, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Open my blinded eyes. Open my eyes that I can see. Don't let me just see for myself and my family, but let me realize that the real ministry in Christ is reaching out. The more I give, the more I receive. The more I reach out, the more I bless. The more I minister, the more you're going to pour back on me. Lord, let us be the most generous people in the world so that we can take and that our barns will be turned to feed the hungry spiritually, to feed this community spiritually and physically, financially. Oh, Father, I seen the other day in a vision, God showed me a bank. And God showed me that one day this church would loan to many and borrow from none. But that we would finance the kingdom of God. And we would finance people's homes. And we would show them how to get out of debt. And we would be a house that was doing mighty things because we saw ourselves as lenders and not borrowers. We saw ourselves as kingdom people who were believing God for the miraculous in every area of our life. Reaching out, raising people out of poverty, of sickness and disease, and financial poverty. Reaching down into the very gates of hell and pulling them from the very awesome, awesome work of the Holy Spirit. Do it in your hands. Do it in your lives. You have the power. But pray, God, open our eyes that we would see your glorious vision. Lord, our glorious inheritance that is in you, O Lord. Let us begin to see. Let us begin to see. Let us not be lost in our foolishness. Lord, these people are sick of church. And they're ready to be the church. Father, I thank you right now. Come on. Stand with me tonight. Give the Lord a hand clap. Open our eyes, O God. Rende la kishutura. Surre masarakete. I saw the message of the full gospel going out over this whole county. God said, begin here in the city and the county. But I saw it going live streaming. I saw us reaching out in the airwaves, going out and touching many people. Amen. Because of this, restoring hope and life and peace back to them. Those who have lost their hope, who have lost their faith. And I see in this as a house of restoration, reaching out, declaring to them, it's not over. God wants to give you hope again. God wants to give you faith again. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. Oh, I seen it. I seen it with my own eye and a vision as God used us to reach out to the hungry. I saw us reaching out to multiple children in neighborhoods, seeing them redeemed for the kingdom of God. I seen dirty, hungry babies that had no love, that had been forsaken of God. And I seen us reaching down and picking them up and cleaning them off and loving them and bringing them in to the kingdom of God. And I seen us bringing them here into this house. And I seen this room filled with babies. And I seen the other room, the larger room, filled with children and with teenagers worshiping God in the spirit of holiness. Oh, I may never see it. I may never see the total fulfillment of that vision, but many of you will. Many of you will. You'll mark the day and you'll know that this house was a house that reached the world for Jesus Christ. It was not about the individual, but it was about the corporate Christ. Hear us, O Lord. Seal your word tonight, Father. Seal your word tonight, Father. Seal your prophetic word. Seal your word tonight, O God. I will raise you up. I will raise you up in this last day. I will raise you up as flames of darkness, flames in the darkness of this world. For I will raise you up as salt and light where it has been trampled under the feet of men. I am raising you up as a fresh block of salt to take to the thirsty, to take to those, to bring flavor back of my spirit in this community. And I have called thee to be light. And where the bushel has hid the light, I am removing the bushel. I am removing the covering. And I'm causing my light to shine and to be bright as never before. For I have placed this house on a hill, naturally and spiritually, that it shines forth as never before. This is the time. This is the season, saith the Lord. But it will come from a people, from a priesthood, that will know how to worship and how to praise me in the holiness of my spirit, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap tonight. Help me, Father. Help me, Father. Thank you, Father. Nantake toshuto ne la taraboshe. Oh, Father, we feel your holiness. Father, we feel the press of your Spirit. See, that's the press of the Spirit. See, that's what some of you don't know, is that when you feel that uncomfortableness, that's because the Spirit is pressing your flesh. It's pressing your flesh. And that's why sometimes you don't know what to do, is because you feel that awesomeness, that press of the Holy, the weightiness of His presence. Now lift your hands and say, we receive, Father. We receive, Father, whatever you have for us. Lord, we receive the miracle. We receive the healing. We receive the deliverance right now in Jesus' name. Come on. Come on, worship Him in holiness. Worship Him in holiness. Worship Him in holiness. Oh, mighty God, mighty Lord, we worship You. We magnify You tonight. We glorify Your holy name. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive all glory and all honor. Oh, say ratataborema. Hallelujah, Father. Come on, right now is the time. Amen. In that thin place. In that thin place. Come on. Cry out to God. Declare what you want in the Spirit. Come on, prophesy. Prophesy. Prophesy over your life. Prophesy over your family right now. In this thin place. In this thin place, God's meeting you. Come on. Declare out of your mouth. Declare out of your mouth. Open my eyes. Let me have understanding in the Spirit. Let me see. Let me have the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Come on. Declare it. Declare it. Declare it. Declare it right now. Declare it. Declare it. Declare it. Declare it. Roshe ke paramase. Ilatarando ramashi. She shalato romosha. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. Come on, continue to worship Him. Press on in. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Most gracious Father. Oh, my word. Oh, my word. Oh, my word. Oh, my word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Most gracious Father. I tell you tonight, God is going to call some of you to become His burning flame of evangelism. God's going to cause you to reach out to the unsaved like you have never seen before. Some of you who have held these gifts on the inside of you for years. Amen. And they have been dormant there for whatever silly reason it was there. But God's going to begin to break open. You're going to feel a passion to witness for Jesus Christ, to redeem the lost. To redeem the lost. That's what we're here for. We're here to redeem the lost and to restore the believer. This is the ministry of reconciliation that God has given into this house. Come on, say it out of your mouth. We have the ministry of reconciliation. We have the ministry of restoration. We are reconciling the unbeliever to God, restoring the broken back to wholeness. That's who Cornerstone is. We are to reconcile. We are to restore. Restore that which was lost, that which was stolen. We are to reconcile. We are to restore. That's who we are. That's who we are. That's who we are. We are not our own anymore. We've been bought with a price. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, Father. Fill us with your Spirit, God. Lord, I release the Holy Ghost in this house. Lord, as never before, fill this place. Fill this place with your Holy Spirit. Lord, baptize those who are hungry and thirsting, Father, as never before. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I can't shut up, man. God keeps giving me stuff out of my spirit. Amen. Raise your hand if God's dealt with you in visions and dreams in the past. Come on, raise your hands. But it seems like it's dried up. Come on. How many do we have that? Raise your hand if you say, man, the dreams and visions have dried up. Amen. I want you to raise both hands right now. God, I speak, Father, for renewal of visions and dreams, Father, in this house. God, those that have been receiving visions. And I'm not talking about those silly tormenting visions. I'm talking about visions that God's going to give you for the church. Visions that God is going to give you for your children. God's going to give you visions for your finances. God's going to give you visions for the unsaved. God's going to give you visions for those who are hurting and those who are bruised. Father, I release the spirit of visions and dreams in this house, Father. I release it right now on the heads and on the lives of those that are here as the high priest that you've called me to in this house. I decree it now in the name above every other name. I pull down every stronghold. Every stronghold. Every thought that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God. I pull it down now. I pull down carnal reasoning. I pull down carnal reasoning. I pull down carnal reasoning. I pull down that Pharisaical spirit. And I release spiritual visions and dreams right now in Jesus' name. Come on, if you want to give the Lord a hand clap, I want you to worship Him. Hallelujah. Open up her eyes. I want you to take both your hands right now. Turn them upside down. Some of you may have a manifestation of oil here tonight. I don't know. But right now, I anoint your hands right now with oil. Each one of you, I anoint you with the oil of God. I want you to take your hands and I want you to touch your eyes right now. I want you to touch your eyes and say, God, remove the scales. Remove the scales off of my eyes. I'm believing for the gift. Amen. Come on, the spirit of wisdom and understanding. I'm not living in the dark no more. Open my eyes. Open my eyes. Open my eyes to the things of the Spirit. To my calling. To my inheritance. Oh, it's going to scare some of you. Now open your eyes. Amen. Some of you are going to start having some very vivid dreams and visions. In the next 10 days, you're going to begin to have some vivid dreams and visions, amen, of God doing something extraordinary in your life. Are you hearing me? This county is coming into an awakening. How about you believe that? Amen. But it's got to begin with us. It's got to begin with us. Whoo! Hallelujah. Now, this is the last thing I need you to do. I need you to go home and all those. Amen. If you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you have the gift of tongues, raise your hands right now. I need you to go home tonight. I need you to pray. I need you to intercede. I need you to cover what has happened here this week. Amen. How many will do that? I need you to intercede this week. I need you to pray. We do not need to let this momentum stop. We need to press on through into this coming weekend. We need to press on through to this coming weekend. How many believes God's going to do it? Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah, Father.